I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. For this Monday, we're going to be talking about maiden names on the rise again. I must tell you that this became a huge issue on Facebook. If you want to write your comments on our Facebook page, we've had almost 50 people who've told us these very interesting stories about making the decision whether or not to keep their maiden name or birth name, what they did about hyphenated names, why this was a political issue back in the 1970s, and it is not as political an issue now, although maiden names are on the rise again, according to our guest this hour. Claire Kane Miller is a writer for The Upshot, which is the New York Times site about politics, economics, and everyday life. She covers gender, work, and family, as well as technology and the way it changes our lives. She's based in the San Francisco area. And we're going to be talking about names and whether or not you changed your name when you got married. Was it a big decision for you? What would be your reasons for keeping your birth name or not if you are? And there are some instances on the letters that we've received where a couple men have changed their name. What about same-sex marriages? Now that they are legal, what are people doing in same-sex marriages? Same-sex marriages, are they more likely to keep their birth names? Well, we're going to talk about the whole thing this hour, and we're going to have a full bank of phone lines pretty soon because this has touched a nerve with you. First, though, before we give you the on-air, I must tell you we are in our fall pledge drive, and we would love to have you give us a gift of whatever you can give us this hour. Our phone number is 888-202-2552, 888-202-2552. For on-air participation now on names, birth names, did you keep your birth name? Did you change your name? Why did you do this? What do you think about it? Is it a political decision? Is it just easier to keep your birth name? 800-486-8655 is our number, 800-486-8655. Hello, Claire.
Hi.
Hi. Your article has attracted so much attention on our Facebook page. It's unbelievable. This is just something people want to talk about.
It's true. People feel very strongly about the decisions that they make in this area.
Yeah. I don't like to tell a lot of personal stories, but I must tell you that even when I was young, and I'm old now, but when I was even a kid, I remember saying to my parents, I really like my name. I would always keep my name. I just never thought that I would lose. I would not use always my name. I can't imagine using another name. You know what I'm saying? It was just always seemed, well, that's what I do. I keep my name.
It's hard. And a lot of the women I talked to said, you know, this has been my name for 30 years of my life. How could I just change it?
Mm-hmm. So there is, tell me what's going on. It used to be a political decision for some very interesting reasons back in the 1970s. Birth names are on the rise now, but it's not political.
That's right. So the trend really started in the 1970s, which coincided, of course, with the feminist movement. Women were starting to graduate from college more often. They were starting to have jobs. They were starting to get married and have kids later with the advent of birth control. And part and parcel of the feminist movement was the notion that changing your name to your husband's name was part of a patriarchic tradition that they were trying to reject. And so that's when keeping your name really started. At that time, there were still state laws that said a woman had to change her name in order to do things like get a passport or open a bank account. So, you know, it really was sort of a revolutionary concept. Even then, only about 17% of women kept their birth names when they married. And then, to the surprise of pretty much everyone who studies these issues, it started dropping, and more women just started changing their names again. It dropped all the way to 14%. And it surprised people because women were continuing to go to college. They were continuing to marry later. They were continuing to have careers. All these things that academics expected would lead women to want to keep their birth names, yet they were not. And what they think is that maybe it was just sort of a reaction to the strong ideas in the 70s and sort of a more conservative time. And what's happened in recent years, which really surprised me, is that women are keeping their names once again. In fact, the share of women keeping their names now is even higher than it was in the 70s. It's about 20% of women.
Huh. And so it's because they've established an identity for themselves, that they've been using a name perhaps professionally for some period of time. It makes it easier to just keep the same name.
That's right. The difference between now and the 70s is that now women tend to talk about ease with either of their decisions. Back then, it was more of a political decision. I'm not becoming, you know, someone that my husband and my husband's family owns. I'm not taking their name. And now it's more about convenience. So people who change their names say, look, when I make a hotel reservation, I think it's a lot easier. My husband or I could check in. We have the same name. Or we're going to give our kids my husband's last name, and it's much easier at school if we all have the same last name. So they're talking about convenience. When women keep their name, they also tend to talk about convenience. They say things like, how is anyone going to find me on social media if I change my name? Or, you know, I have business relationships with people, and they recognize my email address, so it would be very confusing if all of a sudden I had a different name. So, of course, there are still some people who do it for feminist reasons and for political reasons, but more and more the women I talk to were doing it for convenience.
Mm-hmm. There are those certain groups of women. I was interested to see that Jewish women in much larger numbers keep their birth names.
That's correct. So Jewish women, overall, religious women tend to change their names more often. One exception was Jewish women. Jewish women tend to keep their names more often. Asian and Latina women tend to keep their names more often. Those who have children from a previous marriage often don't change their name upon a second marriage because they want to keep the same name as their children, which makes a certain amount of sense. And older women and those with advanced degrees or established careers also tend to keep their names more often. The advanced degrees is just really striking. For every additional year of education a woman gets, she becomes much more likely to keep her birth name.
Oh, that's interesting. There are cultures, though, and you talk about... Well, we have a comment from somebody in the Hmong culture, which is very interesting. But you also talk about certain Hispanic cultures where women are much more likely to keep their names. In the Hmong culture, we have Mylea wrote in on this Facebook thing that went viral. I don't have a middle name, so I technically kept my maiden name as my middle name and took my husband's last name. But in the Hmong tradition, the women were never allowed to take the husband's last name, the clan name, because she isn't considered part of the family by blood. Because of that, she's not considered part of the family. More recently, Hmong women have been taking on their husband's last name. That's interesting.
That's very interesting. And, you know, there are some African cultures where the children's last name becomes the father's first name. The father's first name is the one that's given to the children for their last name. So different cultures, you know, have very different ways of doing this. But in the United States, it is still much, much more likely to take the traditional approach, which is that everyone in the family has the same name after marriage.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's a traditional comment from a listener, Dawn. I was thrilled to take my husband's name. When we got married, my maiden name was dropped, and I was happy to have my husband's name, Holy Cross. To take his name was an honor for him as well. I'm proud to be Mrs. Dawn Holy Cross. I don't understand why women don't take their husband's name. It's traditional, and some traditions are good. It shows you've left your own family and are united with your husband. You start your new family with him. Your identity changes from a single person to a married person. It's a big deal, she writes.
Yes, I did hear a lot of people who talked about tradition and talked about unity. Also, there's a fear of divorce. You know, a lot of the people who are getting married right now in this generation are the children of the parents who divorced the most, which was, you know, people who divorced in the 80s. And a lot of people I talked to said, you know, somehow, even if it doesn't, you know, necessarily prevent against divorce, maybe if we have this unified family name, it will help us prevent against divorce. And, you know, there's nothing that proves that, but if that's something that someone believes, then it makes a lot of sense. It's interesting she talked about creating her own family name because a very, very tiny percentage of people are doing something completely different, which is that they're making up a new name. You know, people used to hyphenate their names. That's not very common anymore for babies being born. But a very small percentage of people are starting to combine their names where they'll take, you know, the husband's last name and the wife's last name. The actress Zoe Saldana actually just did this she was different. Her husband took her last name, which is also a small
percentage. Very unusual, I'm sure.
Right, and the former mayor of Los Angeles had done something where he combined his last name with his wife's last name to create a new name. But that's still, you know, it's not a trend. It's a very small percentage. Hmm.
So I've worried about our son, who does have a hyphenated name, and he has talked about, I mean, he kind of likes his name, and I like his name too, but when you do get married to somebody who has a hyphenated name as well, I'm sure that's happening now. What are people doing?
Of course, and you can't really have four last names, you know, combine them all.
It'd be very hard.
It doesn't really make sense. And so that might be a time when, you know, everyone keeps their own name or when the family decides to create a new name. And sometimes it's not, you know, combining names to actually create a new name out of thin air, but sometimes it's just saying, you know, which of these four names do we like the most? Which do we connect with the most? You know, a lot of children say have their father's name, but they were raised by a single mother. So they say, you know, I don't connect with my father's name as much. There can be some analysis like that. But like I said, it's still pretty uncommon.
Ooh, that can be touchy, can't it? What if you,
if you
chose your dad's name and what about my name? Or you could say, what about my name? We have a ton
Right. Families feel quite strongly about
this.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like you're we've got our fall membership drive going on, but I want to take at least one call for you because we have tons of calls and messages. Colleen in Sharon, Wisconsin. Hi, Colleen.
Hi. Thanks for your show. I'm glad to hear some statistics because I felt like I was kind of out in the backwaters doing what I didn't know if anybody else was doing. I got married in my mid-30s, and I was very pleased when the people at the courthouse asked both of us if either one was going to change their name. I didn't expect that.
Oh.
And I had no plans to change mine, but at least they asked my husband. So my thought along this was that we're kind of perpetually caught in a patriarchy. You can't get out of it. I do have my father's last name. That's how I was named.
Yeah.
So I have kept it, and there's no way to change the whole system yet. You feel kind of stuck. So, you know, whoever's changing or doing something still has, you're still swimming in the sea of, you know, it's mostly the male's last name. So anyway, I kept my name, yes, for convenience. I didn't want to change my bank accounts and my business and everything else, and I just felt like we can have unity, unlike the person who wrote in, without having it all to be my side to change everything. I don't understand why a woman would say, yes, I will do all this, you do nothing. That didn't sit with me, and my husband's fine with it. Our only little hitch is when my son was born, you know, we had to make a decision. So I didn't use the hyphen. Like you said, it's not popular with me. But we did put in both last names. So on his birth certificate, he's got my last name and my husband's last name with no hyphen, mm-hmm. and he can go by what he wants. But like I said, I still kind of put out by, in this culture and many others, it just seems like the father's line goes on and on by name anyway. And there's no way, unless you set up an entirely new system, to sort of change that.
Yeah. And Colleen, does anybody ever say to you, you have different last names? Or is it so common now that it's not even mentioned?
No, yeah, it comes up pretty frequently. People
it
are
does.
Confused. Yeah. Yeah, but I don't make a big deal out of it. They can call me what they want. I'm not offended by anything. But I say, yes, we do have different names. And most people say, okay, and go on with life. It's not a big deal.
Right. What do you say, Claire?
I think it's interesting what she said about, you know, how to end the tradition. Because, of course, it's true. Women who keep their birth names often have their father's name. So it is still patriarchal if that's what they're pushing back against. And one way to do that, unlike the caller said, is to think about what you name your children. And to give your children either a choice or both last names like she did, a hyphenated name like you did. Or, you know, maybe a name that comes from some other part of the family if you choose to create a new family name.
Right. We'll take more phone calls, and we have many more messages. We won't get to all the Facebook messages, so if you don't get on the air and you want to read all the interesting stories people have written to us, well, I think that would be a fun thing to do. So go to the Kathleen Dunn Show Facebook page and tell us your story as well. Our guest this hour has written a piece for Upshot, the New York Times site about politics, economics, and just everyday living. Claire Kane Miller is with us, and we'll take more on-air phone calls in a moment on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Kathleen Dunn. KP Whaley is with me in our Milwaukee studios, and this, of course, is also our Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Membership Drive. We know that you count on us to talk about all these wonderful issues every day, and we count on you to keep these discussions on the air. Please give at WPR.org. Or 888-202-2552.
Yeah, hello, Kathleen.
Hi, KP.
Well, I want to thank 69 listeners last hour.
Are you serious?
69 people who took advantage of that dollar-for-dollar match.
Wow.
So thank you so much. We did,
Amazing. In
fact, meet that goal. So thank you all for those pledges. We do have a new goal this hour, 45 pledges in the next, you know, 50-some minutes now. So go to the phones now and make a pledge, 888-202-2552.
You know, we really care about what we do. We bring every day, Monday through Thursday, 2 great hours from radio. We do our best, and we love what we do, books and history and politics and social issues and changing your name or not changing your name, education topics, all of these. And some, you know, they're fun topics, too. Words tomorrow. Well, we can't do it without you, if the truth be told. And listener contributions make up more than 40% of our budget. It's a lot of our budget. And it's why we're asking for your gift now. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
We do have something also for you this hour,
oh,
too.
We
don't have a dollar for dollar, but we do have a tote bag, new WPR tote bag, as a thank you gift for just a pledge of only $6 a month. So a $72 pledge or more will get you this wonderful tote bag. It's recycled cotton, printed right here in Wisconsin. Same logo, kind of a new throwback logo.
Oh, I like that. Yeah.
It's got it's bright blue WPR design on it, and it's canvas tote. So it's an amazing, amazing little
gift. You can carry
gift.
It with you to the
exactly.
bookstore, grocery
You can
store.
Carry your books in it. You can take all your materials home to read that I give you the day before.
No.
And you can get that at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
This membership drive, we're having a drawing for a trip of your choice to South Africa, Cuba, or Canada. When you give, you're automatically entered, but you don't have to pledge to participate. You can send a postcard with your name, address, email, and phone to WPR Trip Drawing, 821 University Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin, 53706. Enter by sending a postcard, or better yet, by making a pledge right now.
Make your donation in support of the programs that you love. WPR.org, 888-202-2552. It's our fall membership drive, very important drive in our year. Your pledge might be, I don't know, whatever you can give, $5 a month, maybe more than that. We do thank you for it.
That's right. And if you've been listening for a while now, WPR, without pledging, maybe it's because you didn't really understand how it all works. So we are listener-supported radio. So it's the single largest piece of our budget. It comes from listeners
yes.
like you, from 25 listeners, new pledges last hour, who said, you know, I've been listening for a while. It's my turn to actually make a pledge and support the station. So if you've been listening, $5 a month is a great place to start. $25 a month if you can afford it. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we're looking for how many pledges?
41 or so.
41 pledges. Yeah. So your pledge right now is very, very important to us. And we also want you to know that as an added bonus for your pledge of any amount, you'll be entered in a drawing for 2 tickets on this WPR trip. And there are several of them that are really pretty neat. Sustainers, you're automatically entered.
Yeah, and if you haven't become a sustainer, you might consider that, too. It's an ongoing monthly donation. It comes right from your bank account or your credit card. And if you make a pledge of $6 a month, sign up to be a sustainer for $6 a month, you can carry home that tote bag as well.
And we just want to say that WPR is the cat's pajamas.
It's the cat's pajamas. Just like Jake said from Madison.
Thank you, Jake. You just got the right. Talk about picking the right words. Those are the right words. Thank you, KP.
Thank you.
WPR.org, 888-202-2552. What's in a name this hour of the program? And we're having a great... It's an interesting thing. It's significant for a lot of people. Claire Kane Miller is with us, a writer for the Upshot New York Times site about politics and other things. And she wrote this very interesting piece about... maiden names, birth names on the rise now, even more than in the 1970s when it was part of the women's movement for some people. It was a political statement. And now more women are doing this. And what is the statement now? Or is it a statement? What did you do when you got married? What did you do about your names? What do you do about your children's names? We're welcoming phone calls. 800-486-8655 is our number. And let's go right back to phones and Muhammad in Madison. Hi, Muhammad.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hi.
Hi there. I did some research on this, mainly in defense of the accusation very often that Muslim women are oppressed. And so what I came away with, and your guest can correct me, was that the largest influence of women taking on the name of the husband came from Roman law, and it meant that, like African Americans were in slavery, that your name, that meant possession. You were property.
Hmm.
And so people, most people, a friend of mine was traveling in Spain and in Italy a couple of weeks ago, and I asked him, was he aware of the amount of influence that Roman culture has on America, on the West, I can say, when it comes to the time of the day, the calculating years, the names of the wife taking the husband's name, the days of the week, the names of the month. And he's a teacher. He said, no, I had no idea of this. So does your guest have another perspective other than that this influence came and Muslims, like Jewish women, don't traditionally take their husband's name, but this influence is greater, for the greater part, came from Roman influence?
Oh, that's interesting. Claire?
It is a great question. I don't actually know the history of whether it came from Roman influence. I know there is a very strong traditional element, which is one reason that religious women, with the exception of Jewish women, tend to change their names more often, because religion is often tied to tradition. I also know that in the United States, the history was, like I said, it was illegal for a long time for women to keep their own names. The first woman that we know of to keep her name was Lucy Stone, who was a feminist activist, a suffragist in 1855. So that was a long time ago, but it didn't really become common until the 70s, and at that point some state laws were still in place. But I do not know about the Roman history. It's a good question.
Yeah, we'll have to find out about that. One of our commenters on Facebook said, I'm not sure why she did it, but my granny, Alice Dolder, had her maiden name put on her tombstone in Illinois. It was a surprise at first and then a real source of pride for me. She wasn't about to go down as her married name when she'd been a widow for 50 years. They married in secret, and I suppose she wanted to have her eternal mark as a bit mysterious as well. Go, Granny. And then she said, it's made my effort to regain my maiden name after my husband died during our separation all worth the effort. So there were some women who were doing what nobody else was doing.
It's true. And I find those women fascinating, the ones who were doing it, you know, well before this had become a trend and a political movement as far back as the 1800s.
Yeah. Muhammad, thanks very much for the call. Stella in Sturgeon Bay. Hi.
Hi. This is in response to a couple callers ago who said that she had kept her birth name but felt was commenting that this is continuing the patriarchal tradition because
mm-hmm.
her birth name was her father's name. We have some friends who, when they got married, they took one syllable from each of their last names, combined them into a unique new name. And that is their married name and their family's, their children's last name.
Hmm.
So that is, they just created a unique name for their marriage and their family.
And how did other family members respond to that? Were they shocked?
I really don't know, actually. But I don't think so.
Hmm.
I haven't had much of any contact with their families.
Mm-hmm.
But the impression I have is that it wasn't a problem.
Hmm. I would imagine that's not real common, Claire, is it?
It's still very, very rare, but more people are doing it. From my anecdotal reporting, it seems that it's more common in urban places and in coastal places in the United States. And it's also more common for women to keep their own names in urban and coastal places. So it's not necessarily surprising that that's also where families are trying to come up with new things. I mentioned earlier that the former mayor of Los Angeles, Antonio Villaraigosa, he was Antonio Villar. His wife was Karina Ragosa. They're no longer married. But when they got married, they changed both their names to Villaraigosa. And I've also heard similarly of men hyphenating. You know, it was common for a while for children to get a hyphenated name and sometimes for wives to take a hyphenated name, but the man often kept his name. And, you know, more often either couples are combining or they're both hyphenating. But again, it's a really small percentage. And I have heard it's very much harder for men often to explain the situation just because it's much, you know, less common for men to change their names. So I've heard stories about men going to work or, you know, telling their friends that they changed their name, and people are just sort of baffled by this. Whereas when women do it, it's sort of considered expected.
Yeah. Well, you also have to have a name that has a nice ring, because Villaraigosa sounds terrific, doesn't it?
Exactly. That's true. That's true. Sometimes it can be hard to take syllables from both names and make a name that does, that sounds okay.
Right. You know, it's interesting. Tell me what you think this is, and I'm sure it's happened to other men and women who are listening. My husband and I do have different last names, and, you know, I'll get a telemarketer call who will use his last name, calling me Mrs. his last name, and sometimes people get confused and they think that he has my last name. And I think that he bristles a little bit with that, and I bristle a little bit, too, when I'm called by his last name. What is that? What does that signify? We got a problem here?
Well, one of the sociologists who I interviewed for the story called the tradition of changing your name, the tradition of a woman changing her name to the man's name, the strongest gendered norm that we still have in this country. And I think that that really nails it. You know, men expect to keep their names. They feel very proud of them. They expect their wives to take them. I'm generalizing, but this is what the numbers back up. And you know, they feel that their wife is making a sacrifice for them or making a commitment to them, and that goes along with marriage. And then, you know, it makes sense that the women who either keep their names or do something different also feel very strongly about that decision. So then all of a sudden someone's calling them Mrs. So-and-so, and they don't even relate to that name. You know,
right,
our name is
right.
a very personal
Absolutely.
Thing.
Absolutely.
And you feel very strongly about it. It's your identity. And so whether you choose to go the traditional route or the untraditional route, I think it's accurate that it is one of the strongest norms that we still have.
Yeah. Stella, thanks for the call. Marge in Clark County. Hi, Marge.
Hi.
Hi.
I got married a second time, did not change my name from my former married name, because there's such a long list of things that you have to change your name on, beginning with your Social Security card.
Oh, yeah.
And that was just way too much.
Mm-hmm.
Right here in such a little town as we are in, the postal department knows who you are, whether it's Marge blah, 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 or Marge blah, blah, blah. It still comes here.
Right.
But that list is really long, you
yeah,
know, when you
yeah.
have to change your stocks, your checking accounts, your other things that you have.
Right. Yeah, it's a pain.
Way too much.
Way too much. And that's, people made those comments to you, Claire, right? It's too much.
Yeah, people made that comment a lot. It is very difficult. And the interesting thing is, if you're going to do something traditional, like the woman taking her husband's name, you're allowed to do that on the marriage certificate in most states, I think in all states. And so at least you have that part done. And then you still do have to call Social Security, the DMV, like she said, your stocks, your banks, everything,
yeah.
and change your name. So it is complicated. But if you're going to do something different, like make up a new last name, or the husband take the wife's name, all these different things, in many states they don't let you do that on the marriage certificate. And so then you add another step, which is that you have to go to court and get a court order to change your name. Then you have to run an ad in the newspaper announcing you're changing your name.
Whoa.
Because of the reason that you might be doing it to escape fraud. And the notion is that if you run this ad, it will notify anyone who you have some debt against that you're trying to escape. And so it just makes it very complicated to do anything besides the very traditional approach.
Yeah, absolutely.
And even that isn't easy.
Right. We're going to take more phone calls. Please stay with us online. And if you don't get on the air, but you would like to leave comments about your name and what you've decided to do about changing your name or keeping your birth name, what you've done with children's names, and why you made the decision, and was it a big deal or was it nothing? Just something that is a matter of course. You, of course, took your husband's name, or you, of course, kept your own name. What influenced you? Our phone number, our Facebook place is the Kathleen Dunn Show, and we have tons of messages there that are kind of fun to read. Our online number is 800-486-8655. We have a very busy hour going on because we're also in our fall membership drive, and it's your support. You are the rock. You're the foundation of our whole enterprise. It is what makes Wisconsin Public Radio your place to go for terrific programs. And we'll be back to our discussion in a moment. KP Whaley is with me now to encourage you to go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 right now to make your gift in support of all the programs that you count on.
That's right. It's really time, really, to help pay for the programs that you depend on.
Right.
We're looking for 38 more pledges still in the next 23 minutes or so. So if you do make a pledge, you'll also be entered into a drawing for two tickets on a WPR trip of your choice. So a pledge of any amount is your chance to enjoy the very best of Cuba or see South Africa or take a train trip across the Canadian Rockies.
Those are all good. And you don't have to donate to enter. You just go to WPR.org for all the details. You hear from so many people on this Ideas Network. It's a phenomenal service, and we're glad to seek people out and get them on the show. In fact, it really is a privilege to do this kind of work. It truly is a privilege. It's your support that makes all of it possible. So make that radio happen with your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Yes, and you decide the amount that you pledge. Every pledge does matter, so every pledge helps pay for those programs that you enjoy on Wisconsin Public Radio. And again, during this drive, you can ask for your very own WPR tote bag when you give $72 or more. You can walk around town and show off your pride and love of WPR.
That's a nice thing, and there's nothing like a tote bag. I really like tote bags. The bags are printed here in Wisconsin, and you can ask for your tote when you give $6 a month. That's $72 or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, WPR has been, as you know, Kathleen, around for almost, well, it's about 100 years this year, right?
I thought you were going to say almost as long as you have.
No, it's
not
been a
quite.
Long for
yeah,
a long time.
That's
not
true.
Quite that long.
Right.
But I
yeah,
think
almost 100 years.
And we've been committed to quality that whole time. Mm-hmm. And that quality really is possible thanks to listener donations. They make up the single largest piece of our budget. So it's an important contribution. And if you can make one now, as so many other people do as well, you'll become part of that quality that you hear every day on WPR when you donate at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
A lot of my friends grew up with public radio, and unfortunately, I didn't. I discovered it in college, and I knew I was addicted when the fun drives would come on, and I still couldn't change the channel. And so it's been such an important part of sort of my relationship with my friends also that this summer when I got married, I decided to include it in my vows. And in my part about why I love my husband, I said, no matter how many times I say, guess what I heard on NPR, you always listen to my stories with interest. My husband and I donate because I feel like it's an important asset in my life and I would like to contribute to it. But I really think that it's an important asset to the community as a whole and to the country as a whole. My name is Christine Callis-Jewell, and public radio is my source for the beginning of conversations.
Christine, that was really nice. Thank you. Very nice. 888-202-2552. And we love to hear stories about how listening to WPR affects people, like what Christine said. These feelings might be familiar feelings to you, so make your contribution. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
And you may have heard about our monthly giving program. It's really popular now, and it's really an easy way to become a sustainer of WPR. All you have to do is set up an automatic monthly gift that comes from your bank account or your credit card.
Yeah.
And it's that simple.
Very simple. So become a sustainer right now. It's so simple. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
If you've donated a few years ago and you feel like maybe you've done your part, but you're still enjoying listening to WPR year after year, your continued support is really what keeps us going. So if it's been a while since you donated, it's now a perfect time to give again. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. We'll be happy to bring you back into the fold, right?
We'd be happy, happy, happy. We would like to see 38 more pledges during the course of this hour, so that would be great. And your gift will help us do this kind of programming for years and years, another 100 years. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And again, don't forget we have a pledge of any amount today where you'll be entered into a drawing for two tickets on a WPR trip. And sustainers, don't worry, we've got you covered there. And this pledge drive, we also have that tote bag. So $6 a month.
KP
or
likes
70,
that tote
it's
bag.
It's a really nice. I actually, yeah,
you've seen an
I'm
actual
getting
one?
Them. I'm getting.
Oh, you are
yeah,
getting.
Yeah, that's a Christmas gift.
Well, don't say it on the air.
Oh, shh.
Who's it for? Who's it for?
$6 a month, and you can bring this tote bag home for you.
Is it for me?
Yes.
You're going to give me one? Really, will you?
It's beautiful. It's,
what do you
it's
want? Do you want a water
you're
bottle?
You're going to take your books home, and every night it's printed in Wisconsin.
What can
it's
I get for
canvas.
You? Do you want one too?
You can fill it with books.
You want one too?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we got that. So that's great. You do the same thing. That's good. That's good. WPR.org.
Make your pledge now. Get your own tote bag at 888-202-2552. Or you can pledge online at WPR.org and get a great tote bag for just $6 a month.
Oh, you're the best. Thanks, Heapy.
Thank you.
We'll take more phone calls on this changing your name or not changing it at Marriage in a moment on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are speaking this hour with Claire Kane Miller, who writes for Upshot about the reasons for the resurgence in keeping your birth name after marriage. We have this whole new, Claire, world of marriage, same-sex marriage, and Mark writes us on Facebook, I'm in a same-sex marriage with an English guy, and most traditions or cultural norms dealing with marriage issues don't apply or are undefined for us. Every little thing from who we walk with at the ceremony to who takes what name has to be actively talked about. Nothing can really be left to fall back on old traditions. For less complications with visas, international documents, and differing government policies, we went with keeping our own names. Has same-sex marriages, have you examined those and what people are doing?
I did examine that, and I have not written about it yet because there really just is not enough data yet to really see what people are doing. The international element that he brings up is a whole other element, which is very interesting in terms of passports and international laws and all of that. But in terms of same-sex couples, you know, one thing I've heard is that the default is just to keep your own name. Another thing I've heard is that, you know, that some couples really want to take one of the spouse's names. And the reason that I've heard that from a few people I've interviewed is the notion that so many of the rights of marriage were denied to them for so long that they want to embrace every tradition of, you know, every piece of traditional marriage. And one of those is having the same name. But of course, you know, there's not a gendered tradition in which name to choose, and so it becomes a conversation between the couple.
Yeah, interesting. Barbara in Waupaca is next. Hi, Barbara.
Hello.
Hi.
I called because I don't know if it's the problem of Mr. and Mrs. Because partly how I understood it was, even if you kept your name, if Beverly Smith married Harold Brown, mm-hmm. she would still be Beverly Smith, but she wouldn't be Mrs. Smith. She would be Mrs. Harold Brown.
Yes.
If anyone was going to refer to her as that, but her name was still Beverly Smith.
Yeah, this Mrs. first and last name thing is really strange to me. Claire?
Yeah, that's very, I mean, my grandmother still has her address, her return address printed that way, but I have not seen anyone in a younger generation doing that. There are a lot of people who, of course, choose Ms. and then, you know, and don't use Mrs. at all anymore, and then they can use whichever name they want, but they just go by Ms., which doesn't explain whether you're married or not, because the idea is that Mr. also doesn't explain what you're married or not, whether you're married or not. There's also a lot of women who choose to change their name legally on their marriage certificate, so they become Mrs., you know, or Ms., whichever they choose, but they have their husband's last name, and then professionally they keep their birth name or their maiden name. So that's a pretty common trend, especially among women who have established careers and a significant amount of education before they marry, and mm-hmm. you know, that's another inconvenience because you live your life with sort of two separate names, but for some women, that's the most convenient choice they can come up with.
Yeah. Anything else, Barbara?
Yes, I had a comment because sometimes working with, I work with Historical Society, and people with will give things, and this was these things were donated, say, back in the 50s, and they will say, it was used by Mrs. George so-and-so, and we'll say, okay, so what was her name?
Right.
Who was her, or they'll say, it was Mrs., or it was Mr. Wilson's aunt, and you go, okay, so what was her name? And it's just hard when, and people did, women did use Mrs. Harold Brown more than their own name.
Yeah, that makes it really hard to do genealogy, doesn't it, Claire?
Oh, yes, it absolutely does. It makes it very confusing, and you sort of lose track of a woman's identity, which is, of course, one of the things that women in the 70s who started this tradition were pushing back against.
Yeah. Thank you, Barbara, very much for your call. Lori in Gladstone, Minnesota. Hi.
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 This is, I guess, related to the comment about same-sex marriages, and very timely. My mom is actually getting married next week to her longtime partner. And they've decided, here's an example of how they're dealing with their last names. They were both married. Both still have their married names, you know, obviously since divorced. But so my mom is going to, I have to think about this a little.
Okay.
She's keeping her married name, but putting her maiden name as her like last name, and then her partner, who will be her wife, is taking my mom's maiden name as her last name.
Oh,
so they will be, you know, Jane Smith Johnson, you know, and you know, Anne Johnson, for example. So, yeah, I had to have it explained to me a couple of times.
Right, it took a while to work it through in your head, I could tell. Claire.
Yeah, it's really interesting. You know, with family structures just changing so much in the last few generations, it used to be that people didn't get divorced. It used to be that people did not keep their maiden names. So many things are changing. It used to be that same-sex marriages were illegal until very recently, of course, and before that, very uncommon for those partnerships to exist. And because family structure is changing so much, all of these questions are having to come up. You know, what do you do when you get divorced? Do you change your name and then get remarried? So then you've changed your name four times, you know, from maiden to married, back to maiden to new married. And, you know, what do you do in a same-sex partnership? And whose name do you take? Or do you have different names? And so all these questions are really the result of changing family structure and changing norms about family and marriage in the United States.
Mm-hmm. It would be interesting to find out, and you probably know a good deal of this, but to really look at cultural differences in this regard. Jeff writes us on Facebook, in my wife's native Chile and elsewhere in Latin America, women don't take the husband's name upon marriage. Everybody there has at least two last names, paternal followed by maternal.
Oh, that's fascinating. I hadn't heard that. I know in a lot of other countries, you know, they take different approaches, but I hadn't heard that you're... you know, last name in that part of the world is a maternal name. That's fascinating.
It is, isn't it? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Lori, thanks very much for your call. We have some lines open. They have been jam-packed, but you can get through now. 800-486-8655 is our number. Ellen in Milwaukee. Hi.
I was one of those women in the 70s who did not want to change my name. I was very passionate about my identity. I had a professor who, because my husband and I were in the same class at Whitewater, insisted on calling me Mrs. His name. Anyway, the other point I want to make, aside from the political aspects of it, is I wouldn't want to change my name, Kathleen. My name is Ellen O'Grady.
Oh, of course you wouldn't change your name. Of course not. We can sing a song about you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah, I understand that fully. It's your name. I understand that. I wonder if we Irish have something about this, you know, because she's O'Grady and I'm a Dunn, and, you know, it's part of your heritage, too.
Well, that's another interesting thing I heard in you know, multicultural and multiracial marriages are more common now. So I talked to a lot of Asian women who said, you know, I don't feel strongly one way or the other about the prospect of taking my husband's name, but I think it would be weird to have a white name. You know, my last name is, you know, an Asian name, and it signifies that I'm Asian, and it would be strange if I had a white name, they said, and, you know, people looked at me and saw that I wasn't white. So a lot of these cultural issues come into play.
Mm-hmm. And thanks very much for the calls. Well, we've had a remarkable response to this. I'm sure that you must have, too. You get a lot of people writing to you and commenting on this?
Yeah, we did. We heard from a lot of people on both sides, just like we have today, some saying, you know, I would never have changed my name, someone saying I would never have kept my name, some saying I'm doing something brand new. And I understand I've been fascinated by it for a long time, and frankly, I thought more people were changing their names because I saw all of my friends who, you know, fit the demographic of people who would keep their names, but they were changing them. And then I was very surprised when I looked at the data to find out that actually the name keeping is on the rise.
Uh-huh. And when your friend said why they were changing their names, what did they say?
It was mostly just tradition, like this is what you do. For some of them, they said it was very important to their husband, that it was part of, you know, their husband asking them to marry them, was asking to take his name. Others did it because of the children, that they knew they wanted to have children someday and wanted everyone to have the same last name. And, you know, it was just a very strong drive towards tradition. But then again, they were, for the most part, people who fit the demographics of people who keep their name, which is, you know, educated, already had careers at the time of getting married, tended to live in more urban places. So, you know, it's important to keep in mind that we're only talking about a fifth of women who get married now are keeping their name. So it's still not even close to the majority.
No, it's not. I'm surprised it's not much higher than that, quite frankly. Yeah. Well, Claire, this has been so much fun and really very interesting, and I thank you for being with us.
Thanks so much for having me. It was fun.
Our pleasure. Claire Kane Miller, Made Names on the Rise Again. She's a writer for Upshot. She's based in San Francisco, and that's a really good New York Times site if you don't know about it. They do politics and economics, and she covers gender, work and family, as well as technology and the way that it changes our lives. Thanks for all of your calls, all of your interest in the subject, everybody. I'm Kathleen Dunn. KP Whaley is joining me in our studios in Milwaukee. This is our Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Membership Drive, and we are here to raise the money that help pay for the programs that you enjoy. I know many of you responded to this topic and enjoyed it. Give your support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Yeah, it's always fun to find a topic that you just kind of know the listeners are going to really enjoy. And this was a good example of that.
You knew that. I didn't know that. They really responded.
They did respond. And if you appreciate that kind of programming, clearly kind of made for you, please make a pledge now and show your support in the next few minutes here. Give to WPR to support the programs that you rely on here every day. And remember, any pledge will get you in to a drawing for two tickets on a WPR trip. You can go to Cuba, South Africa. You can choose to go across the Canadian Rockies. And you don't have to donate to enter, although we'd certainly appreciate
it. It would be nice if you did.
As well. But you can go to WPR.org for all those details, or to make a pledge, or you can call 888-202-2552.
And you've been enjoying this conversation. I know you have, about maiden names being on the rise again, or birth names. Some of you prefer that term. It's an example of the interesting, different kinds of quirky conversations. And yet, family history and culture, it was important as well. Political reasons that this happens or doesn't happen. So take a few minutes to make this hour possible. Choose a gift that is fine for you and call 888-202-2552 or go to WPR.org.
Yeah, you choose a gift of the amount that you want to pledge.
Absolutely.
And you can also choose a gift of a WPR tote bag as well. So we have a tote bag. If you make a gift of $6 a month, that's just $72. And you can get this wonderful tote bag. It's made from recycled cotton. It's printed here in Wisconsin. And it has WPR's logo all over it. So when you're walking through the farmer's market collecting all your veggies, you can show off your love and support of WPR. It's yours now when you make a pledge. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Hi, I'm John Munson, encouraging you to join me on a spectacular rail tour through Canada. Make a pledge of any amount during this membership drive and you'll be entered to win a trip for two. If you win, you'll have three trips to choose from, including a tour of beautiful sights in Canada. Look forward to scenic ferry cruises and idyllic strolls through charming towns. We'll see gardens and historic sites, and we'll explore the heart of Vancouver. Then, get away from it all for up-close views of the majestic Canadian Rockies and glacial blue lakes. Your pledge of any amount gets you entered, but no contribution is necessary to win. Find the details and the fine print at WPR.org/drawing or enter with your pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Best of luck.
And that sounds good. You know, new members are important to Wisconsin Public Radio, and I met people last week who just discovered us a couple months ago. So a big thank you to all the first-time donors who have pledged so far this hour. Thank you very much.
Yeah, if you've never given before, know that your new membership will help keep Wisconsin Public Radio strong, reliable, so you can continue to depend on it. It's easy to do. You decide the amount, for example, $5 a month, maybe $6 a month, and you'll get that tote bag too. And then at WPR.org, you can sign up, or you can just call us, 888-202-2552.
And thank you for all of your comments. Thanks, KP, for all of your work. Thanks for your gifts. And remember, it's WPR.org, 888-202-2552. Pledge for the news, too. It's the best news around. It's the best international reporting anywhere, right? So that's worth a pledge.
Absolutely.
We're worth a pledge. That's worth a pledge. Thanks for pledging. Thank you.